Okay. Hi. Today's podcast comes to you from one of my favorite people on the entire planet. Easy. She's my cousin and my best friend. It doesn't get much more Italian than that. And she is just one of the biggest lights of my life. And I had to have her on this podcast because, selfishly, I wanted to talk to her for an hour because she's one of the only people I can talk to that doesn't drain me because I'm pretty introverted. And also because I think she just has a lot of really good things to say because she's a social worker and really fucking good at her job. And I think has a lot of light to offer us in these current times. And also, this conversation was 2 hours long, so I cut it down and gave you the good stuff in the second half. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And we do say this on the podcast also, I think I didn't cut this out, but she is technically my first like non-musician, really normal person that I've had on the pod. And so I want to also have more of these. So if this is like, if you just think like I only have musicians on this podcast, that is not the case. I want to have all the normal people. That's the point. So like she said, no pressure with her being my first one. But I think she did an amazing job. And I just think that everyone has such an incredible story to tell. And we're all walking around with so much going on in our brains at any given time. And I just want to talk to everybody about all of it. So I hope you enjoy this episode with my best friend and most favorite person on the planet. I'm her maid of honor. She will also be mine. I just can't wait for y'all to meet her. So this is Brianna.
Talking to normal people.
I mean, is there anything specifically you were thinking about on the drive over here that you wanted to talk about? You're like my first... I know that the podcast is called Two Normal People, mm-hmm. but you're like my first normal person. Everyone else has been like a musician.
Oh,
that I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I feel pressure.
Don't. Oh my God.
No, I mean, I guess, I was thinking like about, well, the one thing I was thinking about was how I cannot wait to, yes, get married, A, B, go on my honeymoon, but also be out of work for 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
Like, that's gonna be, yeah, that's gonna be like, I just can't wait for that. Like, Mark was like, well, like, you're excited for the honeymoon. I'm like, of course I'm excited for the honeymoon. But on top, like, the cherry on top of everything is that I'm not in work for that amount of time.
Your last day of work is Wednesday.
Is Wednesday this week. Yep.
Thank God.
I know. I should have taken more, I think. I should have actually taken, like, maybe this week.
But I was kind of thinking that. I was surprised you didn't take more off. You got a lot done. Like, most people, I think, would need this week off before their wedding.
Yes.
But you're like...
I got most things done. Yeah. Yeah, everything's done. Actually, we went out to Dollar Store yesterday and bought like a bunch of little things for bathroom baskets.
I love that. Yeah.
I think that's cute.
What a cute thing to do together.
Yeah, it really was. I was like, okay, you be in charge of the boys' baskets, the men's room baskets. I'll be in charge of the ladies' room baskets.
Oh.
It's really cute, actually. It'll be a cute... Just something I like when weddings have that.
Me too.
It's just,
I'm like,
nice.
Does anyone use it? I don't know, but I think it's cute.
Sometimes I'm like, I've used it at like a summer wedding.
Oh my God,
where
I've used
it was
the deodorant.
Like, yes, the spray
yes,
deodorant.
The spray.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The
I'm
best.
Like, it's needed.
Yep. I just need a little fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that just at a wedding just last month. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, especially in a summer wedding if it's outside.
Yep.
It's like,
ugh, you have the perfect date.
I think so too.
October 5th.
Yeah. October 5th.
The leaves are going to be perfect because I feel like they're changing early this year.
They are. Yep. They are changing early. And it's like we actually went up there for the final meeting and the trees just look gorgeous.
Ugh.
Like it just looks. Yeah. It looks like exactly how I wanted it to look.
Yay.
Still a little bit green, but also
texture.
Texture. Yeah.
Oh,
Okay. I know.
Oh my God.
So that'll be really great.
Good.
Yeah, I'm excited. Very excited for that.
So you want to tell the people what you do for work?
Yes.
And yes. Why you're so excited to have three fucking weeks off.
Yeah. So I work for a mental health clinic. It's ran by Office of Mental Health for New York State. So it's a state-run clinic for people with severe mental illness, and it's in the Albany area. adults with severe mental illness. They have an adult outpatient clinic. They have inpatient units in the building I work at, and they have an adolescent outpatient clinic as well. Yeah. So it's fun.
I know it doesn't sound like it. How many patients do you see in a week?
Ooh. Fluctuates by the week. I'll say I usually schedule roughly 4 to 5 sessions per day at an hour apiece. And sometimes more, though, depending on just the day. But not everybody will show up. Like, we get a lot of, I feel like, reschedules or missed, like, no-shows or things like that.
Oh, man, I no-showed my therapist once. It was when Nan died.
Oh.
And I just completely no-call, no-showed. I'd never done that in my life.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next time I went in, she was like, everything okay?
Yeah.
I was like, actually, no!
Here's why I did that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I did. I've never done it before.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, I think with the population that we work with, it's much more, you know, that you're going to get more of that. Unfortunately,
it's a kind of a blessing in disguise, though. Like, they don't show up, and then you're like, "Ooh, I have a whole hour."
Yeah, sometimes it is, and sometimes I'm like, "Damn, I can get some of my case notes done." Or,
sorry.
No, sometimes it really is like it is like a blessing. It's like sometimes you're hoping, especially depending. Like, man, I really hope this one doesn't come today.
That's how I feel about teaching.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, ooh, fingers crossed I get that email.
Right? Yeah. You're like, oh, the rain looks really bad out there.
Uh-huh.
Might not want to drive in the rain. Sun might be too blinding in your eyes.
It's way too
blinding. Way too hot out.
So bright.
Oh,
God.
But yeah, so that's what I do. I've actually been thinking more and more about moving over to the adolescent clinic lately.
Really?
They're going to have some openings in the winter.
Okay.
So then
I know that you were thinking about, you have like this test that you have to take.
Yes.
But you have to have a certain amount of hours before you can take it.
Yep.
So that won't affect that. Because you... Also, the hours that you have from this job you had before this job all count.
Okay. Yes. So it's just like
you don't have to be in the same job.
No.
Okay.
No. As long as a new supervisor signs off on your hours, you're fine. I actually will be able to sit. So that test is, it's called my clinical license. So technically right now I'm under my master's of social work license. So my LMSW. And then, the highest one I can take, the highest test I can take without going back for, like, a PhD would be my clinical license of
Holy
social
shit.
Work.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
So then I can,
You're
like...
You're amazing.
Then I can do, like, I can start my own business or bill insurance. That's basically all it really gives you. I mean, yes, it's a test to be like, do you know the skills, do you know the things you need to know to do this job, but it's also like I can clinically bill insurance, so then it's like I could see people out of my home or
wild.
Yeah. Not that I would do that as a therapist, but
I don't think I would do that either.
Yeah, I don't think I will.
I even sometimes feel weird about doing that with like lessons where I'm always just like my studio. And then some people don't even know.
Well, that's true too, where it's just like, yeah, this is just calling it your studio instead of like,
because it doesn't look like a house, like where we live, it doesn't look like a house.
Yeah, no, it actually doesn't. No,
looks like a garage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it does.
Like, yeah, and like it just looks like a garage attached to this, like most people don't even I think about there being an upstairs,
right?
And so I'm like, some of the time I'm just like, yep, it's like the studio.
Yeah, like... I know that would freak me out a little.
I think I was even thinking about that with this podcast, but I'm like, if I feel uncomfortable with anyone being on this podcast, then you're not coming to my house to record.
Right. Like, no, of course. Happening. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if I feel uncomfortable with you knowing where I live, then I'm not sitting in a room with you for an hour.
Right. Or but it's like, if you don't really know them too well, just mm-hmm. have like somebody else, JP here, or somebody yeah, else here to be like, too.
Yeah,
you know, so you're not like alone.
Yeah. But you could also do remote work, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely can, which I'm definitely thinking of yeah. for sure.
What's like your yeah. ideal future for a job?
I've actually thought a lot about this. I would honestly love a job that I just like want all of the things.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
And I think that we can have them. I fully yeah. believe that.
I want hybrid work.
Yes.
Oh, that's the best. Because here's the thing. I would love to be remote. However, for me, it would get old very quickly. And I think I would need, in my line of work, I just think you need like coworkers mm-hmm. to be like, not even just, hey, God. Let me vent, but more yes. so a matter of, hey, I need another clinical opinion on this. Mm. Did I do the right thing? Is this like, what, where should I go from here? Like things along in that realm. I think you just need support. So typical, I guess, location wise, it would be like 3 days from home, 2 days in the office.
Mm.
That would be ideal. However, sometimes I think about later in life.
3 days from home, 2 days in the office?
Three days from home, two days in the office. That's nice. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know necessarily yet. I think if I want to like continue to work with adults or work with kids, I think it's hard with kids. I love working with kids, but then you're not just working with the kid. You're working with the parent in therapy.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm doing both anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know? Also, like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Like you are not, you bring a kid in for therapy in a clinic. You 100% are also either having their parent in the room, because some parents will be like, yeah, I'm not yeah. leaving my kid alone in here.
Yeah.
Either because they're controlling or because they're, you know, whatever. But, or
protective,
right.
or want to see maybe what's going on.
And, yeah.
But I also would imagine, like, when I even think about it, it's so, like, these two things don't even come close, but teaching lessons is similar, where you're like, yeah. oh, I'm not just dealing with the kid. I'm like also dealing with the parent.
100%.
And then also sometimes the parent like does come in the room, and like that's the whole thing. And how different the kid acts
Aww.
When their parent is present.
Of course. And so sometimes not in a bad way no. necessarily, but just like in a, oh, okay. Like
okay, oh, I see. Okay, this is how you act with your parent.
Right.
Versus how you act with just me. And so it's probably interesting what kids would say if a parent wasn't present.
Mm-hmm.
Versus what they, how comfortable they feel when their parent is present,
for
so many different reasons,
right?
And how differently it affects your work,
right? I mean, it really is like a, it's so working with kids is a whole other beast. Then we're like, sometimes I think, I don't know if I like working with adults. Sometimes I remember like working with teens and I miss that. Like I miss working with them, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know if I could deal with the parents of the kid again. Yeah. 'Cause it's not just working with an adult in therapy. Like you're working with an adult that has a child in therapy. So it just is it's just different. It's just different. And it's a lot of work and stressful. So 'cause it's not only like an adult like coming to therapy has like sometimes has their expectations of like what therapy should be giving them. But I think like an adult bringing their child to therapy, they have an expectation of what their child should be gaining or whatever. And if their child is not progressing in therapy the way that they want them to, like we have a woman who works in the child and adolescent clinic who got a new client like a year ago. She was 16, came with a lot of trauma, had a lot happened to her in her life. And it took literally weekly sessions for like 3 months of them just basically sitting in silence for this girl to finally start opening up and saying, wow. Yeah, talking about things to the therapist.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because she just needed to know, I think, that somebody was going to be showing up and committing to her and keeping the weekly sessions. And it was like her form of building trust.
Yep. And like not pushing her. Mm-hmm. God.
Allowing her to like run the session. And then finally, the therapist had said, one session, she just said, okay, so what are we talking about today?
Whoa.
And it was like,
whoa. Okay.
And it was kind of like, whatever you want to talk about.
Like, yeah. I feel like that's also like such a kid thing, mm-hmm. of just like, we're doing a thing, we're doing a thing, we're doing a thing, we're doing a thing. What? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
Because if that person was an adult, they would be like, it would be like a, I don't want to fucking do this. I don't want to be here. Or it would be like, what the fuck are we talking about? Or like whatever version of that is. But like a kid will just sit there in fucking silence.
Yep.
For 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And she did.
That's she did. Crazy. And as the therapist.
Yep. You have to completely.
I'd be like, I'm not doing anything. But like you so totally are.
You so totally are. And you have to completely do the work for yourself as a therapist in terms of your expectations on other people, I uh-huh. think. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, even...
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a thing. Wow.
Even with my adults sometimes that I work with, it's like, okay, I know that they should probably stop using crack. Like, I know that... Like, I know my goal for them would be like, I see so
stop
much...
Stop using crack.
Right. Yep. How about not do that?
Christ. Holy shit.
So it's like God. I have like expectations, like, and we all do it, but we need to do the work for ourselves to not put that on, because sometimes I literally meet with people and they're like, yeah, I don't want to stop using. And I'm like, okay, well, all right. So like, okay, we really have to like talk about what your, sometimes their goals are just like, I want to keep my apartment. I want to keep living independently in the community.
Okay.
Okay. And it's kind of, you have to roundabout get there of like, well, if you spend all your rent money on crack and like you almost blow up your house by smoking crack in your head, like, I don't know, like just things like you have to kind of get them to realize like what goals, I don't want to say what goals they should have, but what goals, what will truly help them keep their goals? What's truly going to help that person keep their apartment?
Uh-huh.
Probably not smoking crack. That's yeah, probably 100%. A thing, right? But like, I have so many people that don't like, you know, so I have to lower yeah. my expectations and do the work for myself as a therapist of not putting my goals and expectations on somebody else. Like they determine. Is,
wow. But yeah. I feel like that's also just like life.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. Just like less expectation on people.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be so much happier.
Yeah. And I think that is the hardest thing for me as a therapist. Because I don't claim to know it all, but I'm like, there are certain things where I'm like,
I don't claim to know it all, but if you stop using that crack, your life will improve.
Right. I do probably know that, right?
Yeah.
So it's things, you know, and it's just you just got to let them do, you know, self-determinism. Like they have, like people have to come to their own conclusion. You cannot, force them there, you know?
No.
Like,
which I also think is like another thing that people don't want to accept or understand. And I think also took me a very long time.
Yep.
To understand.
Well, especially for like, you.
I
feel like you just, well, like, the,
well,
like
it comes
you like
back to control.
Right, control. And like, also, not control in a bad way, but like control because you trust yourself more than you trust anyone else. So you're just like, oh, I know, like, you know what I mean, though?
I know what you need.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know exactly what you need. Yeah. Yes, yes, 100%. I even found myself the other day, like, my friend texted me and was like, hey, I want to start this podcast. And I was like, oh, my God, like, that's so cool. Love this whole idea about it, yada, yada, yada. And then he was like, I'm thinking about this for, like, the for the title or whatever. And I was like, well, I like this one. And then what if you also, but what if you took the second one and made it like your, dude, literally. Like, yep. And I was like, but what if you took this one and made it your, like, if you made it your, like the one liner about the podcast, then you can take this and you can do that. And then I was like, I sent it and I was like, just blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. No, you probably didn't need this.
Right.
But this is my brain.
Yep.
Like, I just like can't, I can't fucking turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm learning. I don't want to say I can't. I am learning how.
You're to learning turn it how. Off. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the first, definitely the first step is recognizing that you do that.
So hello, like, it's, my name is Angelina. I'm control a control freak.
This is my confessional.
Yes. Hello, Angelina.
Hello.
Hello, Bruce. God, I am a shark, not a mindless eating machine.
Friends eat fish, not food.
Food. God damn. Wow. What would you say as like a therapist? I feel like everyone's lives are so like fucked right now. And the news cycle is destroying all of our brains. And so is social media. Like what advice would you give as like the best way to cope with our current life situation?
Oof. Oh man. Sometimes I just think like, have you seen that thing going around TikTok where it's like, y'all need to touch some grass?
Yes.
It's literally like, that's my piece of advice, I think. Like in a very general sense of like, everybody needs to like, at some point, disconnect from what they're watching and like, go outside. Just like be in touch with reality. Cause I do just feel like sometimes people get so, I don't know, wrapped up and they think that that's like, I don't know. I don't think we were meant to live life like that, you know, behind a screen, constantly, which we just are. I think about that with TikTok all the time, just like scrolling through TikTok and the range of emotions you feel in a 10 minute span is insane. Also, I've noticed within the past, like, I would say 4 years, 5 years, my attention span has dramatically decreased. Like, I can't, if I'm driving, and it sounds bad, I, like, have my phone up on my, like, yeah, and I'm like, why am I going to change the song? I just turned on this song. Like, it's just a weird thing that is happening. And if I'm like this at 28, can you imagine what a 6 or 7 year old is that has that in front of their face all the time? Oh my God. And what that's gonna do? I don't know.
To their developing brain, and then like as they get, and then once their brain is developed, having been exposed to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, so I even think about it. Sometimes I scroll through TikTok and I'm like, someone will comment on one of my videos on YouTube too. Someone will comment on something I do and then I'll go to their page and I'm like, oh, you're a child.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm on this app. And if I'm seeing this kind of stuff on this app, you can also see this kind of stuff on this app. Yep. And I'm like,
how scary.
That feels really scary. Like sometimes you can get down some weird TikTok holes. And I'm like, there's no like parental control on here.
Nope.
You can put it on YouTube at least.
Yeah.
And then like there are videos, like when I upload a video, it can be like, is this video, you have to be like, is this video appropriate?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, but you could probably hit, yeah, it's appropriate. Yeah, I'm 18. Even if it's not, like whatever. Yeah. Oh no, you have to say like, is this appropriate for 18 and under?
Yeah, but
you can just hit.
I was gonna say, like, how many kids put their actual age?
Also true.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, they're so smart nowadays too. They like, and they're smarter with technology than we were when we had
100%.
We first got on YouTube, and it's scary out there. It's scary, and like, I, not even just the kids, like working with adults, I'm like, even just being at the clinic I'm at, it'll be 2 years I've been there in November.
Whoa.
Which is crazy.
Wow.
I know.
Okay. Wow. Oh my God.
So the severity and intensity and acuity of the cases and the I don't want to call them cases, the people that we have seen over the last 2 years, the new enrolls and admissions mm-hmm. that we have gotten in the last 2 years, I just went to a meeting with a bunch of like OMH people. Actually, I like presented a case at that meeting. It was really, it was really awesome. But the kind of the head board of OMH, and the clinic I work at, was basically saying that we have never seen acuity like we do current day, like right now. And it has increased dramatically over the last like decade, like less than a decade. Just the amount of people that are high risk. So suicidality, homicidality. So people that want to harm other people. Angelina, these people are, yes. And like also people that we work with that have these things that are like actively homicidal and like actively having thoughts, maybe not urges, but having thoughts of like harming someone else, can just like are just like
walking around.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. And we were talking about this kind of a couple weeks ago. You'd think that that's not safe, right? It's like, okay, somebody should really be evaluated and like probably checked into inpatient or something or crisis. They literally don't have the space. Like they don't have the space. They don't have the space for it. And that's, we don't have the beds. You don't have the space. You don't have the funding. You don't have the staff. You don't have anything to cope with like the current climate and like people's mental health, which right. is so sad.
We're just like, we are getting less mentally stable mm-hmm. and nothing about the like mental health system mm-hmm. is changing.
Yep.
Which I also honestly feel about the health system mm-hmm. also just in general, physical health system, where it's like, I do feel like I don't, and maybe this is just because I'm in this like chronic illness world or whatever, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like more and more and more, I know a lot of women who are also like getting diagnosed with these kinds of things. Like, and also to be fair, I think it's very clear because like me trying to get into a rheumatologist and my doctor being like, yeah, it should be about 3 months. I pen triage for one month goes by. I pen triage for 2 fucking months. Unbelievable. And then they call me and they say, you can't be seen. We don't have space until a year from now.
Yep. So you waited two months for someone to tell you we don't have space for a year.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Like we literally don't have the room in our schedule. And we don't have the doctor doesn't, like, we are being overrun yep. with cases, with, like, autoimmune cases wow. and, like, chronic illness cases.
And I'm like, what is that?
I think it's stress.
And also,
I truly believe that.
I also do believe, like, yes, absolutely stress. I also do just think, like, the amount of, like, processed crap that we take 100%. In on a daily basis that we don't even if you're like, oh, I eat organic and I eat clean, I'm like, do you really though? Like, you know, because I'm like,
right.
anything you buy probably has some sort of chemical in it or some type of growth hormone.
I hate to kind of be that person, but I'm just like, unless you are creating your dirt and growing it all yourself.
You have no idea.
Like, the rain, like I'm just like, you yeah. like, you literally, because I hate to, I sound like a fucking conspiracy theorist.
No, but like the rain, no, you're like the rain. Dude, the rain is yeah. just water from the planet.
I so know. Like, you know. And we're poisoning the planet. So how is the rain not poison? And also like all of these, like the smoke from all these like wildfires and stuff, I'm like, we're all intaking that. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, cause like when I think about me, I'm like, I really don't, I eat relatively clean. Mm-hmm. I make, JP and I cook 90% of the time. We went out Friday night for dinner and we went to Romo's actually.
Oh.
And they have all these gluten-free options because the the owner's daughter is celiac. And so then like spent all this time like curating a gluten-free pizza dough. And they also have gluten-free fucking boneless wings, which I thought, I literally was like, I'm never going to be able to eat like a chicken tender ever again. And then I was like, oh my God, like I can like out to eat, I can have this. Like I don't have to go to a store and like buy a frozen fucking bag of gluten-free, whatever. I was like, this is just like, we just sat there and we like, I had my gluten-free pizza and he had his pizza. We had to get two pizzas. But like, I was just like, and like we were eating the wings and we like left and I like got in the car and I was like, oh my God, like that was, we haven't been out to eat in so long. I was like, that was so fucking nice. I was like, because like we don't have to clean a single dish.
Yeah.
We didn't have to make a fucking thing. It was literally brought to our table.
And you probably have leftovers.
And we, oh my God, I'm going to be eating pizza for a fucking week.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh my God. But I was like, this is, it was just so, I'd never felt that feeling because we've been eating so much at home. We've been doing like, we've been really, really good about that. And I was like, oh, this is like great. So truly, like I am a person who like, granted, I just said like, I just ate like boneless wings and pizza for lunch, for dinner on Saturday, on Friday.
You have to have enjoyments in
and,
life.
Yes. And I think it's all about balance. But I'm just like, I'm a person who really, I don't eat a lot of crap. Like I don't eat a lot of like processed shit, whatever. And this is also happening to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and I've been that way my whole life. I've been pretty health conscious.
Right.
So I was just like, and I do, but I do think the food plays, I really do feel that. Like since I've cut out gluten, for example, I felt so infinitely better.
Yeah.
Infinitely more energy.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I cut out all the processed sugar and all of the dairy,
right,
I would probably also feel better too. But I'm,
then
again,
you'd be eating grass.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not a rabbit.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec. But yeah, so I think like all of that, I think it's all kind of like affects the whole thing. But I also just view it as I have had so much stress in the last
Your body 8 was
years
just,
of my life.
Yeah.
So I really think like, but I really also think like people sitting in front of screens and like consuming what they're consuming, that is stressful and depressing and like deeply saddening. And also is like, it's like it's pulling us away from each other. And granted, I'm also a person who loves my alone time, but like people I think are meant to be with other people.
Agreed.
Like whenever you see another person, generally you leave feeling maybe like I feel a little bit drained just because I'm like more introverted.
Yeah.
But like when I hang out with you, I don't feel drained at all.
No.
Like, so it's like you have your people and you find your people and you find your things that work. Like you need community.
100%.
And I just like, I always come back to like the more somehow as we have become more connected, we've become more like disconnected.
Yes.
Like you'd think like being able to see people across on the other side of the world would make you be like, yeah, don't we all deserve basic human rights?
Yeah.
Of like food and shelter and clothing? Shouldn't we all just have that? And somehow it's made people like more dissonant.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And I don't know necessarily like what that is. But I think it all
government, man.
Fucking government, man. No, but like if anybody could be a libertarian in the future, it would be fucking me. Like truly, I'd be like, fuck all of you.
Yes.
You guys all suck. Bye.
I'm out.
Like, I'm literally out.
Yeah.
I think you're all here for some type of reason, agenda, purpose, and it's not for me.
Nope.
It's not for us.
Correct.
You say you want good things for the American people, and I don't think that you do that. So
you aren't even a person. You're a reptile.
You are literally a part of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Oh my God.
Going full conspiracy.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. No, I 100% agree. And I think the more bad that we also see, we become so, I don't want to like numb, like you become numb to also bad things. So then bad things happen and you're just like, oh, that's just like a Tuesday. Because I just saw this happen last week. And we become disconnected also from not just like community, but like humanity and like being a person and like being like this person on the other side of the world who's getting blown up is also a person. Like this is all like, it's not just something I'm seeing on my fucking screen.
Yeah.
Like this is a community. These are people that live there and like have homes there and families there and like just like we, just like us. So we have become like less, I don't want to say like we've become more emotionless. We've become And it's scary.
It's so interesting.
It's really scary.
Thinking about that for me, like last Friday, Rachel was home and we went out for her birthday. Mm-hmm. And it was just so fun. There was just like four of us. Mm-hmm. And like Rachel was talking about, Rachel has been in the hospital with her grandma and has had to be there. Like she was there like every day for like a fucking week. And yeah. She was like, I am so disappointed. And like, she was like, she's in the ICU. This is my job in Idaho. This wow. is my job. And I'm looking at how they're caring for her. And she's just like, and the level of care is so low.
Yeah.
Like she was just like, I would never treat my patients the way that I'm watching my grandmother be treated.
That's so sad.
Like she had pneumonia. Ugh. And they gave her like a chest tube and they're like, well, she can't walk. She has a chest tube. And Rachel was like, we walk people in our ICU with a chest tube all the time because right. they actually need it more than anyone else does. They need to be up and moving. Like that's the only way that they're going to get better. She has fucking pneumonia. Like right. she needs movement. And they were all like, no, like we don't walk someone with a chest tube. And Rachel was like, no, you just don't want to.
Yeah.
Like this is fucking crazy. So we were all talking about like this. She was like kind of just like venting to all of us about all of it. And I was just sitting there just like, yeah. And like her other friends were like, oh my God, Rachel, oh my God. Like this is, I can't believe you have to deal with this. And like, this is so much. And I was like sitting there and I just was like I felt that feeling of numb because I was like, oh, I forget not everyone deals with this type of shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh yeah.
You
like,
dealt with it with your mom. You dealt with it with you, with dad, your dad.
Like yep. with fucking everybody. Yep. So I was just like, and like Nan too. Nan, like we watched yeah. that. Like, and I'm just like sitting there and I'm like, oh, like some people, and like, I don't want to say that it's made me numb, but in that moment I was sitting there like listening to Rachel talk and I was like, of course I felt empathy. Of course I felt that.
Yeah.
But I also was just like, but isn't this just what like
yeah.
life is?
Right.
But then I was like, oh, but it's actually
but it's
like,
not
fucking not.
Like we're making it like that. Like, oh, like subconsciously. Like we yes. have no idea that we're doing that. But yes.
because we're just like, this is normal to us. To,
right.
Like you, us being you and I.
Right.
And I'm like, this is not all of this like health stuff and dealing with the amount of like death and loss and just like stress
yeah.
in the last 10 years of our lives. I'm like, oh, like I was looking at Rachel and I was like, oh, this is like the hardest thing you've had to deal with this far in mm-hmm. terms of like healthcare and the health system and like watching a loved one go through it. Like
yeah.
obviously she is in the ICU every fucking day,
yeah.
like dealing with that, like taking care of people. But I just was like, oh, like everyone else is getting to this point where people are going to start losing their parents and grandparents. But like, we've just been going through
we've
it.
We've seen it. Yeah.
And I just was like, and like there, it was just so funny, like watching their reaction of like, and like, even when I said something at some point about like my dad or my mom, whatever it was. And like, they were like, oh my God, like, I didn't realize like you were going through that. Like Angelina, like, oh my God, like that's so hard. And it was like this feeling of just like, I was almost, it's going to make me cry. I was almost like overwhelmed with like the emotion coming at me from
yeah.
them of like,
yeah.
oh my God, like you've been having to deal with this. And I'm just like, well, it's just, it's what you do. It's
right.
What you, it's what you do, bro. Like,
yeah.
I felt like myself getting like a little bit like, it's fine. Like, why
yeah.
are you looking at me like that? Like, stop looking at me like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, because this is and has been fucking hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And like, I think we have definitely experienced, more lost than like an average person at our age
than your average bear
than yeah. your than your average bear
yeah
and it and loss in like so many ways right
yeah
because like we think of like loss and grief as like death. It's like not though. It's like you can lose things, you can lose your health, you can lose your ability to like be mobile and like be able to just like live your life as you like want, you know. You can lose connection with family members, you can literally have a family member be uprooted and like put in a different state, like in prison.
Yeah,
so like
that can happen.
That could happen too. You know, like you lose people that were once in your life for so long and then we're gone. Like, it's, you can lose in a lot of different ways. And when you were talking, I was thinking of, don't like Zach Bryan, please don't
I
come
know.
For me people.
Oh my God.
But like, I used to really, really like his music. I still do like his music.
It's kind of that thing of like,
God forbid, please don't kill me. But like,
no, there's always that really tough thing of like separating the art from the artist. Like,
yes,
we were even just talking about this. Like JP's family, somebody went to see the Michael Jackson musical, and I was just like, why?
Yeah,
did we need this? Like, yeah. I don't know if we needed this on Broadway. Yeah. Like, I just don't know.
He was here once, and now he's not, and that's yeah.
And let it go.
Let it go.
Like, let that die.
Yeah.
And then also like, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, we all love fucking Harry Potter.
We but, all like, love Harry
can
Potter.
Can we separating the art from the artist?
And it's really
like,
hard.
And I don't know what that line is. And right. I don't know. Like, I'm like, so I have to like lose this thing that's given me stability and like comfort my entire life because this person decided to be a fucking asshole. Get like too rich and become a fucking crazy person.
I think like,
I don't know. It's hard.
I think I'm on like, I try to be very, very aware, but I also try not to let something that someone else did like disrupt like also my, because like that's the thing is like, do you let go of something that like gave you so much comfort and peace? Like, can you just be like, these are just books and the stories are beautiful and like I love these stories without every page being like J.K. Rowling's a fucking bitch. Right? But, like, you know what
fuck
I mean?
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck MJ.
Yeah.
Just beat it.
Yeah.
Like, what's the, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think maybe it just like fluctuates where you go, this person fucking sucks. And then you go, I'm going to acknowledge this person sucks, but I'm going to like enjoy this thing that brings me comfort and detach myself. And like, I don't know. Cause even like when I think about being a musician, I'm like, there is something that happens when you are creating that feels apart from you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this, maybe came from that good part of them and maybe we can enjoy it for that reason, that it's something that's bigger than them, that the art that they created is bigger than them. But I also don't know if that's like spiritually bypassing
and their art like has also like helped people too, you know what I mean? Like Zach Bryan has a quote and it says, if I'm lucky enough, I will get through the hard things and they will make me gentle to the ways of the world. Which I think is like also very beautiful. I know Zach Bryan. He's a piece of shit. I'm sorry. He's a fucking asshole.
Which is literal so narcissistic. You're like, you can write that quote.
Right.
And then,
because you're a narcissist, probably. Yeah. I don't know. But like, I love that. Ugh. And I think about that all the time with just like all of the hard, horribly, horribly hard things that not only you and I have had to deal with, but so many other people like you and I have had to deal with, that like, how do I make sure that I don't get like, I don't want to say like hardened. Hard. Like, how do I make sure
and
that
bitter.
I still bitter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And bias. And like, how do I make sure that I don't be that version of myself?
Because like, I think there maybe is a timeline in which you and I have become terrible fucking people.
Yeah.
Like, we could have easily
I think about this all the time, actually.
Same. And I think like, I also think in, this is also gonna make me cry, I think in those timelines perhaps we like don't have each other. Because I just think, like, if I hadn't had you to get through all of this,
oh my God,
I would be a bitter fucking old bitch.
Yeah. A bitter old bitch at 30.
Yeah, correct. I mean, I feel like I'm 80 right now. So,
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, because, like, fuck.
Yeah, in this timeline, people for the podcast, we talk about this all the time. Angelina and I are cousins, so we talk about all the time.
I'll say that in my intro, maybe.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That the universe knew that in this specific timeline, life was really gonna fuck our shit. So they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna make it so easy. We're gonna put you guys in the same family. You don't have to find
you're
each other.
Force proximity. That's our rom com trope.
That's our rom com."
Force proximity.
Oh
my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That is like,
oh my God.
100%. I think about that all the time, that the universe was just like, yeah, these girls are really going to need each other. And also need each other to both be like grounded. Because I'm just like, what if one of us in the family was just like, some, like, you know, not grounded, not able to be there for the other. I'm like, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like, oh yeah, we both ended up in this specific timeline, both grounded, both just good people.
I think so too.
That, like, yeah, it was needed.
God damn.
It was needed.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
My God, we could literally do this all day.
I'm gonna have to have him cut the first half. Yeah,
I'm like, this is the better half.
This is
first half is just like, we're talking about a wedding.
Yeah.
And then it's like we get 30 minutes and then we're like, darkness, blackness, other timelines, the government.
The Illuminati.
Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
I feel like I've said this to everyone, but I'm like, I gotta have you back next season.
Woo!
I'm but actually, for real. Like, yeah. I feel like you really need to be on every season because I think we also all need like a good therapist voice.
Yeah. And I definitely don't, claim to be like the. I don't take my own advice either. So like,
I'm like the classic worst thing with therapists.
Yeah.
No therapists do like what they tell their clients to do.
100%.
That's me too with teaching. I'm like, oh yeah, you need to be doing this every day. And then I'm like, I see that warming up all the time.
Yeah. You're like, nope.
Nope. Oops, I forgot.
Yeah.
Fuck. You know?
No, yeah. that's it too.
Yeah.
But I think also it's like, it makes us like, I'm always aware, at least. I'm always aware of when I'm not doing the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's the first step, I think.
Yeah. 100% is that. It's just like that awareness.
Yeah.
And then just maybe, and it's also like, I think it's like not a ton of big changes at one time.
Yeah.
I think it's just like tiny, minuscule, everyday, like little things.
Yeah.
That just like make it all feel a little bit easier and better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. So. Thank you for being here.
Yes, definitely.
I'm like sad we have to
next season
stop because
I'll see you all next season.
See y'all next season. Talking to normal people.